Another participant on the panel in the Autonomous Vehicle Forum is Elena Farnsworth. She is the CEO of Mobile Comply and Director of Global Communications for the Connected Vehicle Trade Association. Elena, pleasure having you on the program.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
You focused your remarks on an area that is not often covered in discussions about autonomous and connected vehicles, and that's this whole area of, guess what, workforce development. A little bit of a reiteration of what you just told the audience, and why is workforce development so important?
So never before have we really seen a convergence of so many technologies in intelligent transportation. So we're seeing a very high skill set of workers with engineering and computer science background, but they're beginning to intertwine because when you have connectivity and autonomy, you need to be able to support the engineering side and the technology side. And as you heard today, the cybersecurity side, there's a lot of different avenues that need to be combined in order to get the right product.
One of the things we heard today from you and some other panelists is changing the notion, at least at the collegiate level, of what do we mean by civil engineering or training engineers for this particular dimension?
Yes, the industry is quite complex because you are dealing with the in-vehicle technologies with autonomy, but you're also dealing with connectivity. So you're also dealing with infrastructure, which is the civil engineering side. And I, for years, have played a role at a national level in discussing how are these people getting the education to date. And for a very long time, it was through just simply reading themselves or by osmosis. They're in an area where they have been thrust into this connected or autonomous vehicle role, and they've had to learn by doing. But that's no longer going to be okay. It's going to have to be a thoughtful design by education institutions, and they're going to have to collaborate. We need to be able to work together in a way so that we can graduate students for jobs that don't even exist yet. So there's a lot of work to be done, but it has to be done quickly.
What do colleges of engineering, I mean, put your visionary hat on, I mean, what do they need to begin doing in terms of curriculum to make some of these things happen that you're talking about?
Well, the good news is this. Many of the universities, especially here in Michigan, have a great grasp on what we need. And what we need to do, I believe, because we do know that education moves rather slowly, but we need to identify what those programs are that are currently in existence. The University of Michigan and Michigan State and Kettering, they've all got great programs, and I'm missing hundreds of other colleges that are doing great things. We need to identify that core competency. This is an engineering degree that would be good for the engineering side. This is a technology degree or a science degree that would have the good foundation for autonomous and connected. And then we need to layer on top of that programs for professional development like certifications or things that would allow them to say, I have a master's degree in, let's just say, mechanical engineering with a specialty certification in cyber or connected or autonomous vehicle. And that's a way that we can get there faster, but it's got to be a partnership.
Well, let's look more broadly now at the educational system in this mobility world that we're talking about. What about the role of community colleges, trade schools, even high schools in preparing a workforce for this future world?
Well, we've also, again, I can't commend Michigan enough because I see a lot across the nation. And I will say there are programs that are going on right now where they're taking projects into the high schools and they're taking challenges from SAE and a local nonprofit called Square One that we work often with. And they're going into the elementary level. And they're going into the middle school and high school level, and they're showing them through project-based learning what it's like to build these devices. The students are actually building kit cars that they print off of 3D printers from Square One, and they're programming them in Raspberry Pi, and they're saying, let's make these cars talk to the infrastructure. Now, the students aren't the one that has trouble with this. The teachers are the ones that have to be prepared, and we have to allow them to have these technologies and understand that it's even available, and then the students just take it away.
Related to sort of tangentially this idea of workforce development, we have driver force development that we have to think about too. A lot of us got our driver's training in high school or through an independent contractor. Then you take a test at the sheriff's office, you get your driver's license. We're going to have parallel systems going on here. I mean, what's going to happen in terms of drivers training and preparing people to either drive or ride in these autonomous vehicles?
When we start looking at levels of autonomy and we start looking at the different parallels of the connected cars that will be driven, the autonomous cars that will be driven, and then the driver level one or zero autonomous, which is, you know, the very driver-operated vehicles, at a level four is where a typical airplane on the NHTSA scale would operate today. And if you look at this, you don't just get into an airplane, as we discussed earlier, and just hit the gas. There's a lot of training that must occur. So what I suspect is as this evolves, we will need to make sure that we pay attention to a different level of training. So you may be able to, for instance, be able to operate a car at a level one or two, but you may not be able to operate it at a three or four, or vice versa. If you're an elderly, for instance, that has vision trouble, I would suspect, again, that you would be able to operate at a level four because the automobile will do most of the driving, whereas you would not be able to do a level one. So although those have not been worked out, and I certainly can't speak for the Department of Motor Vehicles, what I would say is that there will need to be an evolution of practice in order to be able to be a safer environment.
We're talking about autonomous and connected vehicles with Elena Farnsworth. She is the CEO of Mobile Comply. You're also an expert on this in this area of cybersecurity and these autonomous vehicles. I mean, what are some of the key challenges that we're facing right now with respect to cybersecurity, and where do we need to go?
If you look at how a traditional, let's just say, for instance, CAN bus is designed, there are challenges that you will have that you face in the world of cyber. There are a lot of great research that's being done, and there are standards. I believe, as we mentioned earlier, the automotive ISAC, it's specifically designed to be able to have the automotive industry come together to collaborate on these cyber-sensitive issues. We happen to know that there's a lot of really good initiatives that are going through the military because it is not something that is forgotten. And we are able to use best practice to secure vehicles. But again, it will evolve, as does time, because of the complexity of the technologies that are converging at once.
Wow, there's so much to think about. I mean, this panel discussion was just mind-boggling today, and you've done any number of these. Elena, for people who want more information on workforce development, cybersecurity, areas related to this autonomous and connected vehicle world, I mean, what are some good places to go?
There are a lot of resources that are out there. The colleges and a lot of the universities here in Michigan have wonderful research that they've published on the projects that they are doing. Our state, Michigan Department of Transportation, also puts out a lot of information about some of the really innovative projects that we have going on the infrastructure side here in Michigan. Obviously, you can come to mobilecomply.com, where we publish white papers about why it's important to educate the future and why it's important to educate the current workforce. So with all of those resources that are out there, there's a lot that can be learned just from being able to access that.
Elena, the last thing, too, you concluded your remarks today, and some of the other panelists did, too, with from 50,000 feet. What is all this going to mean for the state of Michigan and beyond?
I can't stress enough the number of jobs that are going to be created because of this new economy is just mind-boggling. It's also such an exciting time because, as many of us said today, never before, since the inception of the automobile, have we really seen such a change in the way that we live, the way that we drive, and the way we get from point A to point B much safer and much better.
I've been talking with Elena Farnsworth. She's the CEO of Mobile Comply and also the Director of Global Communications for the Connected Vehicle Trade Association. Elena, thanks so much for being on Greening of the Great Lakes. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.